hearing is conditional use number 2545 J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for an amendment of condition H and or the amendment deletion of condition R contained within the conditional use number 2359, which is ordinance number 2964, regarding the requirements for landscaping and for the installation of gates on Stokely Boulevard between the governor's community and the proposed cottages, to be located on a certain parcel of land and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 25.56 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of King's Highway, which is Route 9, and on the south side of Gills Neck Road, which is Sussex County Route 267, at the intersection of King's Highway and Gills Neck Road. The 911 address is 16673 King's Highway, Lewis, and the tax parcel ID is District 335, Map 12, Parcel 3.00. And staff would note it's a portion of that parcel submitted into the record. Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the presentations received from the applicant. We have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. And I would note, in relation to public comments, we have received 129 responses in opposition and two responses that were classified as neutral. And in total, there is a petition with total signatures with 369 signatures, all of which are included in the Commission's paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you, and the Chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chairman Wheatley and Commissioners. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. I'm guessing that most of the individuals that are here today, unless there was a sudden urge of interest in the Sussex County Code and the ordinances that you're going to consider a little later. This afternoon, I am representing both the owner of the property, which is J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, as well as the applicant, which is Jack Lingo Asset Management. With me this afternoon are Paul Townsend. He's a representative from the owner of the land. And then to my left is Ryan Mitchell, representative from Jack Lingo Asset Management. Sitting to my right and your left, as you look at me, is Cliff Mumford, a project engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. And they are the project engineers for what we call the Village Center cottage application. As it was introduced, this is a unique application different from the first two that you considered already this afternoon. This application or this public hearing relates to two specific conditions of conditional use number 2359 that received approval from County Council through ordinance number 2964. So many of you were on the Planning Commission and were part of the recommendation for that. And I did want to begin with just a quick history of the application and how we got to this public hearing this afternoon. And as part of that, I did want to go through the master planning for these lands that exist that this application is part of, as well as the adjacent and surrounding communities. On May 25th of 2023, the Planning Commission held a public hearing for conditional use 2359, which was a multifamily conditional use seeking the approval of 102 units on about 25 and a half acres of land, as it was just introduced and described by Mr. Whitehouse. About a month later, at the Planning Commission's meeting on June 22nd, the Planning Commission unanimously recommended that County Council approve conditional use 2359 and suggested or recommended, rather, that there be conditions A through Q as part of the recommendation. Shortly after that, about 5 days, County Council conducted its public hearing on June 27th. And then near the end of 2023, on December 5th of 2023, County Council adopted Ordinance 2964, which approved that same conditional use 2359. And as part of that process, there was a couple of amendments to conditions. Two of those amendments to conditions are the reasons that we are here this afternoon. And those are specifically Condition H regarding interconnectivity. And that is a condition that the Planning Commission made a recommendation on, and then subsequently County Council amended that recommendation. The other condition that we are here on this afternoon is condition R, which was a brand new condition that was added by County Council. We are here this afternoon to request changes to both of those. Frankly, both of those changes that were requested were part of the application and part of the project materials that the Planning Commission has already seen in the form of the application and the project book. Specifically, though, the controversy that has brought many of the people that are here sitting behind me is the condition H, which relates to interconnectivity. As part of the original application, there was references to portions of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan that talk about the importance of interconnectivity and the emphasis that this body, as well with regard to subdivisions, and then County Council with respect to the land use applications that it considers, has placed on the interconnectivity between parcels of land. And of course, this is consistent with Comprehensive Plan Section 12.2.3, which directly encourages interconnectivity between parcels of land. It's also consistent with strategies 12.1.4.2 and 12.1.4.3, which states that the county should do a couple things. Amongst those are, one, encourage interconnectivity between parcels, consistent with that goal that I just mentioned, and then, two, create multiple alternative methods for automobiles to reach a property. Both of those items that I just referenced are certainly accomplished by the interconnectivity that's proposed for Village Center Cottages and the Governor's Community. For those of you that were here during the initial public hearing, you'll likely recall that I described how not only is this application consistent with the comprehensive plan and its goals, specifically, obviously, this afternoon with respect to interconnectivity, but this plan also demonstrates how, when you have one single owner of a large piece of land, there can be master planning at a much greater level than occurs if you have a piece of property that has multiple owners and gets developed sort of in a piecemeal fashion. And of course, that is the overall design scheme that occurred here with these lands, as there was a single owner of the lands starting at King's Highway and extending all the way over to the Lewis-Rehoboth Canal. And there was a master plan that has come in front of this body at various times and in various formats. But as was discussed at the initial public hearing, that master plan reflected sound land use principles that still exist today, and you can see the fruit of that master plan. Sound land use planning puts the most intense activity, such as commercial or business activities and higher densities for residential uses, closer to main roads, the roads that Sussex County and DLDOT refer to as arterials or major arterials and collector roads. And then the more distant one gets from those areas, of course, the intensity and the density will, generally speaking, decrease. When you have that type of sound land use planning and that singular owner that I just referenced, it's an opportunity that the county has for master planning so that there can be things like shared stormwater management, pedestrian and vehicular interconnectivity. And that is a description of master planning. The county has considered ordinances that talk about those exact concepts. The location of this afternoon's property certainly needs no introduction, and I'm going to go through this quickly to get to the conditions. You can see on the screens around the room that the property is highlighted in yellow. I'll put the cursor on it. And it's at the intersection of King's Highway, which I'm outlining with the cursor, and Gills Neck Road. The Village Center Cottages is right underneath the cursor at this moment, and you can see that master planning concept is shown on the screen by some of the surrounding communities. Of course, immediately adjacent to it is the Governor's Community, which has a density that's similar but a little less than was proposed in the Village Center Cottages. And then as you move over to the Senator's Community, there's less density. And then as you move to Hawkeye and then Wolf Run and Wolf Point, those become progressively less dense. And of course, as you approach King's Highway at the intersection of King's Highway and Gills Neck Road, There is the future Village Center commercial area that's planned. Again, all part of that master planning concept that I just spoke of. You can see all the other uses in the area. Of course, most notably, this is the signalized intersection at Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway. Is of course also the entrance to Cape Henlopen High School. And most notably right now, there is construction going on there that relates to the Mitchell's Corner project with respect to both Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway. When this master planning was being done, the working assumption was that the intersection of Clay Road and Stokely Boulevard, the road that extends from Kings Highway past the Village Center Commercial and the Village Center Cottages to the governor's community, it was thought that that would be a signalized intersection. And I don't intend to wade into the waters, but there's DelDOT at this time has planned for that instead, of course, to be a roundabout, as all the intersections on Kings Highway. But irrespective of whether it's a signalized intersection or a roundabout, ultimately, you can see that that was part of the main planning to create Stokely Boulevard that came off as the fourth leg of that intersection on Kings Highway, then traveled past the commercial uses and then into the residential uses that are along that roadway. With that quick orientation to the property and the area, as well as the planning that went into it, I wanted to quickly review at a very high level the typical planning considerations that the commission sees for applications. Certainly the whole application is not in front of the commission, but just as a quick refresher, as you can see, this is the 2020 state strategies map promulgated by the Office of State Planning Coordination. And you can see that this property, which is rendered on the property, is shown as being in level one, which as the commission knows is the area where the state expects and encourages growth to occur. Next, looking at the 2045 future land use map in the 2018 comprehensive plan, you can see that, not surprisingly, this property is shown in yellow, which as the commission knows is the coastal area, one of the county's seven designated growth areas. And you can see that the only other colors that appear as far as designations on the future land use map are red, which is of course commercial, and again, reflects that intensity of use. And then the brown or tannish colors that you see are properties that are located within the municipal limits of the city of Lewis, which is of course an urban area, and in that context also a growth area. Looking at the Sussex County zoning map, this would be the exact same map that was shown to the Planning Commission in 2023, with the exception that another part of this application included the change of zone for where Village Center Cottages is from AR1 to MR, so that has been shaded in yellow to reflect that change in zone that occurred as part of that process, and that was a change of zone application 1979. You can see that in this area along Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road, there is a number of parcels that have that same yellow MR zoning classification. Village Center Cottages, that pinkish color is B1, Neighborhood Business District. Red that you can see on the screens is, generally speaking, C1. There is some C2 as well, and C3 up by the Big Oyster location. But suffice to say that there's a mixture of uses along this area of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road all the way out. Of course, you can see the Route 1 corridor at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. All of these things and that background show the nature of this area, the master planning that went into it, as well as the appropriateness of this type of use at this major arterial, Route 9, Kings Highway, as you approach the city of Lewis. At the May 2023 hearing, this exact slide was used to show how the Village Center Cottages fits into that master plan. You can see there is a rendering of the future Village Center commercial along that faces Kings Highway. Right behind that is, of course, the Village Center cottages that we are discussing today. And then, of course, behind that, you can see an aerial image that includes the governor's community. Significant to this afternoon's application, you can see, again, that what will be created as a four-way intersection here on Kings Highway with Stokely Boulevard, coming off directly across from Clay Road, going past the future Village Center commercial area, past the cottages, and again, as you follow the cursor, immediately to the entrance to the governor's community off of the future Stokely Boulevard. This slide was also shown during that same hearing. And again, this shows the rendering of the Village Center cottages. And with respect to condition H, you can see the black line on the screen is the dividing line as far as the property boundaries between the governor's community and the Village Center cottages. And of course, with respect to Stokely Boulevard, which is on the left-hand side of the screens, you can see that that was intended to be a boulevard with islands in the middle and the travel lanes on either side. And you can see that those travel lanes extend right to the property line on that rendering and bisect the island and those travel ways. Interconnectivity that is shown on the screens around the room is the exact same interconnectivity that was shown on the governor's site plan when that was presented, and that was presented some time ago in 2008 to the Planning Commission as well as to County Council. And that same interconnection, the same bisected road with an island in the middle, extending to the property line and then ultimately out to an intersection with Clay Road, is what has been shown on all site plans, record plans, condominium declaration plans since this was laid out, again, beginning prior to 2008. Due to the discussions that occurred during the public hearings, both at the public hearing in 2023, here before the Planning Commission, then at County Council, the applicant did ask Mr. Mumford at Davis, Bowen, and Friedel to redesign that point of interconnection to address traffic calming measures that might be able to be implemented in order to address the concern that people would travel off of Stokely Boulevard and accelerate through Stokely Boulevard past the Village Center commercial and cottages area and then into the governor's community. What was designed by Davis, Bowen, and Friedel is shown in the bottom right-hand side of the screen. You can see that this is that connection point on the right-hand side of the screen. It would be the governor's communities. These are townhomes in that community. And then Village Center Cottages is here, of course. So Stokely Boulevard would come in, and as you can see, there are two things that Davis, Bowen, and Friedel did to try to help calm the traffic in this area. The first was to take the island and the sides of the road on either side of that island and pinch the roadway in. As the Planning Commission has heard from a number of engineers, narrower roads, reduced speed, the wider the road, the faster people think they can go. And so the first item that they did was to narrow the roadway itself as a traffic calming measure. The second addition to what was originally presented to the Planning Commission in May of 2023 is this reddish or brownish device, which is actually an elevated crosswalk, which again is that second traffic calming measure, which essentially acts as a very large speed bump in this area. On the screens around the room now is focusing right in on those changes to Stokely Boulevard that are proposed. As you can see, the travel lane width narrows down by 10 feet. And then you can see the sort of the checkerboard pattern where that elevated crosswalk would be. If anyone is not familiar with how an elevated crosswalk looks or functions or operates, if you've been to the Cheer Center since that intersection was redone just east of Georgetown here, as you go around the Cheer Center now to get into the Cheer Center building, you actually go over an elevated crosswalk to get into their parking lot there. And anyone who has done that would know that you certainly cannot do that at a high rate of speed without damaging your vehicle. The community that I've mentioned several times here this afternoon that's immediately adjacent to Village Center Cottages and the community that has an entrance has been proposed and is still proposed off of Stokely Boulevard is, of course, the governor's community. The governor's community consists of 432 single-family homes and townhomes. And in the project book materials that were submitted for this afternoon's hearing, I included a copy of ordinance number 2020. And this is just two pages of that ordinance, the first two pages. And ordinance number 2020 approved conditional use 1722, which of course allowed for the creation of governors as a conditional use on AR1 ground. Highlighted on the screens, and I'll read it because I couldn't read it if I were sitting in the audience. Condition number 7 to that approval states, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Street design shall include curbs, sidewalks on both sides of the street, and street lighting. The next sentence is the key sentence for this afternoon, and that sentence states, there shall also be interconnectivity with the adjoining properties. Of course, as is required by this commission, as you do this twice a month, on final site plans, those conditions of approval have to be included. The governor's record plan that is recorded in the Recorder of Deeds includes those conditions. They're highlighted with a red box on the screens around the room. And of course, not only is the text from the ordinance included itself, but as you go through the plan set that is recorded, again, the Village Center cottages would be located right here. And this is Stokely Boulevard, where it terminates at that property boundary line. This is what is shown. And as you can see, as I mentioned before, that concept of having a boulevard look with an island in the middle has been shown on all these site plans and record plans for the governor's community. Because the governor's community involves a condominium, there's been a number of condominium declaration plans, starting with the initial one, and then every time a unit was added or units were added, there was an amendment done to that condominium declaration plan. Again, these are recorded documents, and these are just examples. This second page appears hundreds of times in the Sussex County Recorder of Deeds, and you can again see the island and the boulevard that exists on those, showing that interconnectivity. In the project book, there was what I would consider to be a somewhat unusual exhibit. There was a spreadsheet, and what was done on that spreadsheet was to show the number of times that these plots showing this or referencing the text that referenced the interconnectivity occurred in the Recorder of Deeds. And if you made it all the way through all those spreadsheets, there are 323 recorded plots that relate to the governor's community, whether that be through the record plan that created the community or the condominium declarations that we just were looking at. Of those 323, 320 included the interconnectivity that I just showed to you. The three that did not include it were location-specific plans. There was a landscaping area that wouldn't have included that. There was another that was a lot line adjustment that was not located near there, and there was also an adjustment to a parking area that did not include that. So be safe to say that every plan that was relevant that showed that area has consistently shown that interconnectivity between governors and the Village Center cottages. I point this out because I know, sitting through many of these hearings, that the Planning Commission often asks representatives, and particularly when you're reviewing site plans and someone wants to change a condition of those site plans, how would a person that was interested in buying a home in X community, in this case the governor's community, have known that there was going to be interconnectivity proposed whenever the property next to governor's was developed? This afternoon, I would say that there are four specific reasons that someone should have known that. The first is, and Mr. Robertson can attest to this, and some of you as well, who I know have real property interests, but Delaware in 2009 passed the Delaware Uniform Common Interest Ownership Act that does a number of things regarding planned unit developments, is what they're referred to, and governors is certainly one of those. One of the things that it requires is a public offering statement that includes all sorts of information about whatever the community is, areas that could be added to the community, areas that could be removed from the community. There's a number of detailed items that are included, including references to the recorded documents like the ones that you see on the screens around the room. That would be specifically included in the public offering statement, and those documents would be available to and referenced and available to property owners or future property owners who were interested in buying a home or a unit in the governor's community. The second means that a person could use is if you looked at the marketing materials that existed for the governor's community. What's shown on the screens around the room right now is the rendering of the site plan that was used in all of the marketing materials that I've been able to locate. I'm sure there were others, but this is the one that consistently was used throughout the application. And significant to this afternoon's discussion, you can see that Stokely Boulevard, where the cursor is located, there's some text there. That text states future connecting road. And then on the right-hand side of the screen, which is J.G. Townsend Boulevard, that text there, that it's probably very difficult to read, states connecting road to Senators. And Senators, of course, is the next residential subdivision immediately adjacent to Governors. In addition to the marketing and the public offering statement, a third reason why someone would have known about this is because in Chapter 25 of Title 6 of the Delaware Code, when a unit is being sold, like a unit in Governors, there's a seller's disclosure of real property condition report that is required. This occurs on forms that are promulgated by the Delaware Real Estate Commission and occurs with all sales of residential units. And as you can see on the screens around the room, this is an example of one of those forms, specifically from a unit in Governors. And if you were to read very carefully, you would see that question number 24 on page 2 states as follows. Are you aware of anything else to disclose to a prospective buyer because it materially and adversely affects the property? If yes, describe in section 8. Section 8 starts on page 3 of the real property disclosure form and goes to page 4. On the screens around the room, I've highlighted a section on page 4, and that section directly relates back to that number 24 that I just referenced. In 24, it states, per the approved site plan, future road connections will be constructed to adjoining properties via Stokely Boulevard, and then parenthetically it states, next to townhome lot T97, then and J.G. Townsend Boulevard, and then parenthetically, between single-family lots S-73 and S-74. That same contract document, this would be one of the contract documents, you can see that the purchaser of this unit, DocuSigned this document. We've redacted their initials and name. But in addition to the real property disclosure, the rendered site plan that you saw as part of the marketing materials was also initialed, as you can see in the bottom right-hand corner. And as we looked at that when it was the larger version, it of course referenced those points of interconnectivity. While not included in the project book so that we didn't kill too many trees and there wasn't too much materials, that same scenario repeats itself 423 times as every person who bought a lot initially from the developer in Governors would have received that same disclosure with those same materials and had the same information regarding this matter. As significant, or perhaps even more significant, and I know the Planning Commission members go out and visit the properties. We heard about that already here this afternoon. Even if someone ignored the marketing materials or didn't go to Governors because of any marketing materials, they didn't read the public offering statement, because when you get them, they are hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents, and there are probably many people who do not wade their way through all of those documents. And even if a person didn't read the seller's disclosure that they signed as part of the sale, if you go and visit the site, the road is stubbed right to the property line. And so just visiting the site, you would know that there was a point of interconnectivity that existed. If you were to go there right now, the trees would have changed a bit. But other than that, this is what this site looks like at the end of Stokely Boulevard. Of course, in the foreground, you can see the Townsend Barn and the intersection with Clay Road. But significantly, that fence is that property line that exists between Governor's and the Village Center Cottages property. You can see, of course, that this looks exactly as it is shown on all the rendered site plans, with the boulevard look, with the island in the middle. And if we move to a different view, you can see that the island is partially constructed that would separate those roads. And what is proposed, of course, would be a change to this island, as you saw in that rendering, to narrow in the roadway and then add the elevated crosswalk. I did want to address also here this afternoon other applications that the Planning Commission has considered regarding interconnectivity. As was mentioned when we looked at the marketing rendering for Governor's, that you saw the interconnectivity along J.G. Townsend Boulevard with the Senator's community to the right there on the screen. And in 2018, the Planning Commission considered an application that was filed by Senators to delete that point of interconnectivity between Governors and Senators along J.G. Townsend Boulevard. The minutes from that May 24th, 2018 meeting are included in the project book materials. Then in 2023, and this is very germane to the condition that was imposed by County Council, the Planning Commission considered a request from the Schofield community to allow a gate to be installed at the Schofield community's entrance off of Monroe Avenue, there just outside of Lewis. At its June 22nd, 2023 meeting, and by some happenstance or irony, yes, that's the same meeting at which Village Center Cottages received its recommendation from the Planning Commission. But at that same meeting, the Planning Commission voted to deny allowing a gate to be installed at the Monroe Avenue entrance to Schofield. As part of the motion for denial, and for anyone who follows the Planning Commission closely, it will come as no surprise that it was Kim Hoey Stevenson who brought the motion to deny something that was not going to promote interconnectivity. But as part of that motion, the fourth and fifth factors are very apropos to this application here this afternoon. The fourth one states, our Sussex County Comprehensive Plan promotes interconnectivity like what is required in Schofield, or in this case, I would say Village Center Cottages. For example, section 12.2.3 of the plan states that the county should encourage interconnectivity between parcels of land like the Monroe Avenue, or here Stokely Boulevard, interconnectivity here. This is summarized in objective 12.1.4 of the plan, which states that the county should encourage development design that promotes increased access between developments and community facilities, including parks, schools, and libraries. More specifically, strategies 12.1.4.2 and 12.1.4.3 direct the county to implement the interconnectivity required in Schofield, in this case, Village Center Cottages, by encouraging interconnectivity and creating multiple alternate routes for automobiles, amending the approved interconnectivity here between Schofield and Monroe Avenue would be inconsistent with these directives of our county comprehensive plan. That was the fourth section of Ms. Stevenson's motion. The fifth section also is very apropos here because it talks about master planning. And it states that Sussex County has been criticized for not undertaking a master plan approach to development design. Interconnectivity is an important aspect of master planning. The county should not be asked to delete or limit access to a road that was approved after considering the larger area, other developments, and adjacent roadways. Doing so would run counter to the idea that master planning and the interconnectivity that goes along with it is a good land use tool that is beneficial. I note those because, again, they are just as apropos in this section of Sussex County as they were across Gills Neck Road in the Schofield community. The same reasoning applies here at Village Center Cottages that applied at Governor's. As the commissioners know, I often hand out my proposed findings and conditions at the conclusion of my presentation. As I mentioned at the outset, this was a little unique because I actually included the proposed amendment to the conditions when the application was filed. But to make sure that I didn't disappoint, I actually changed one of the proposed conditions, so I would have a handout that I could give to Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Robertson.
We're relieved.
And as those are being handed down to the commission members, I would note that there are not findings of fact, as would often be the case here, just because of the nature of these amendments to the conditions. But I would suggest to Mr. Robertson, if he's looking for some good text, if the Planning Commission is inclined to recommend approval of these changes, that he use the text from the Schofield motion that I just read from, as there are many other sections of that motion that would be appropriate for this application. The primary difference being there are references to Chapter 99, because that Schofield was a subdivision, and those references, of course, would need to be slightly altered. But other than that, the same reasoning would apply. In looking at the conditions that were just handed down to everyone, and it's on the screen around the rooms, and I know the text is difficult, if not impossible, to read. But the recommendation from the Planning Commission is the first item with respect to Section 9H. And directly addressed in the Planning Commission's recommendation on this application, I would note that near the end of it, the second to last sentence, the Planning Commission in its recommendation stated, "This interconnectivity has been part of the developer's master plan for this entire area and has been shown and approved by Sussex County at each stage of development along Gills Neck Road." And you saw the indication and evidence of that here this afternoon. If you move to the middle column on the screens, the text that is underlined is what County Council added to the interconnectivity. And it's curious because the text of Section H is a very strong endorsement of interconnectivity. And the very last sentence states that, therefore, once construction is completed, this interconnectivity must remain open to all vehicular traffic at all times without obstruction. The very next sentences that County Council adds, of course, add obstructions to that condition, as they ask for there to be a gate installed with card access. Again, it's very specific as to card access. And I know there was some comments in the letters and such about who would operate this. That's another curiosity in the condition. This would indicate that the Village Center Cottages would be operating a gate for the benefit of the governor's community, that the governor's community would have card access to get through to Stokely Boulevard. It doesn't talk about anyone going the other way. If the Village Center Cottages could use that same gate to use Stokely Boulevard to get to Gills Neck Road. Again, very specific on a card access. And certainly we do live in a technological age and all of those things could be figured out, but it's very unusual and there would have to be a great deal of communication regarding who gets one of those cards, who doesn't get one of those cards. It also, of course, in addition to having an obstruction in the form of a gate, talked about other traffic calming devices. And as you saw, that is the applicant would agree that it would be appropriate to place traffic calming devices in that area. The third column, or the far right-hand column, is, of course, what the applicant's request is to the Planning Commission, and that is to strike the language that County Council added to Condition H, and then add language that states, while the interconnection must remain open to address the concerns about this becoming a shortcut where people will speed through these connected communities, the applicant shall install an elevated crosswalk as a traffic calming measure at the boundary line between the governor's community and the cottage community. Obviously, we're the point this afternoon that has consternation for many people in the room is condition 9H. There is condition 9R, which I haven't mentioned yet, and I will do so very briefly right now. Condition 9R was added by County Council, and it's talked about, and it is at the bottom of the screen. It talked about a landscape plan for the subdivision's frontage along Kings Highway, and talked about cooperating and being consistent with the goals of the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway Corridor Management Plan. When this application was filed, what was proposed, the deletion of condition R, and not to be adverse to the, that was not an attempt to be adverse to the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway Corridor Management Plan, but as you likely recall, the only connection point that this application has with Kings Highway is the intersection of Clay Road and Stokely Boulevard, and there wouldn't be any landscaping at that intersection to maintain consistent with the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway Corridor Management Plan. I think that group was concerned when the applicant asked and the application was filed to delete that condition. And Mr. Mumford and the applicant met with the Byways Committee she actually, Mary Roth, the chairman of that committee, has one of the letters, the neutral letters, that Mr. Whitehouse referenced just a moment ago when he introduced the application. And she suggested that rather than delete the condition, that the condition be modified so that it relates to the portion of the property that is on Gills Neck Road, which, as the commission will know, is a part of the scenic byways around the city of Lewis. That made a lot of sense, and so that's the change to the conditions that is different than the requested changes that were filed with the initial application. So you can see on the far right-hand side of the screen, the references to Kings Highway are deleted, and in their place, Gills Neck Road has been inserted.
Mr. Hutt, is it just almost simple enough to say that it almost is a jurisdictional issue, that was a condition that was imposed by county council that really is not on the site that was before county council? I mean,
the actual site does have a piece of land that extends out.
For Stokely Boulevard. Okay.
So there, the piece of land that was the subject of the application had the, you know, part of that 25 and a half acres had a pipe stem that extended all the way out. But there wouldn't be any landscaping that would be included.
Yeah, because when I saw that, I read that as that county council was thinking along the entire frontage of Kings Highway, but except for that pipe stem, the entire frontage of Kings Highway would be subject to a totally different site plan review because it's a totally different application, I think. Is that?
That is correct. And in fact, I believe this body has already seen that site plan.
Yeah,
it's part of Village Center.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Commercial area. And so, yes, the landscaping along there will be part of that site plan because there is the application where Village Center Cottages is located, other than that pipe stem, is 500 feet from Kings Highway.
It just strikes me that one's almost just a housekeeping one to some extent, you know, for the landscaping. But thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
When I began, I talked about the master planning that was involved here, as well as the consistency with the comprehensive plan. As hopefully was demonstrated this afternoon, you can see the distinct advantage that Sussex County has when you have a singular owner of a large tract that can undertake master planning concepts like shared stormwater management, shared entranceways, interconnectivity between the various parcels. And certainly new projects, when they arise, always raise concerns. But it's important to remember that all of these projects, when you begin at Wolf Point, right along the Lewis-Rehoboth Canal, to Wolf Run, to Hawkside, to Senators, Governors, the Village Center Cottages that we're talking about here this afternoon, the Village Center Commercial Area, all of those various projects arose from the same set of fields that were owned by the same property owner who devised a plan several decades ago in order to grow this area along Kings Highway and along Gills Neck Road. The project of the Village Center Cottages was part of that plan, and the Stokely Boulevard, as you saw in those the plans dating back to Governors and then all the way through current, have all consistently shown Stokely Boulevard as it was shown during the Village Center Cottages hearing in May of 2023, and as today, with the addition now of traffic calming measures, the narrowing of the roadway, as well as the elevated crosswalk. That concludes our presentation. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions, and Mr. Mumford is here as well to answer any questions that members of the commission or staff may have.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hutt. We'll see if there's anyone that has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Collins.
Mr. Hutt, are there any other considerations for traffic calming that could be implemented beyond just this one crosswalk? to address the concerns that this become some sort of, you know, bypass, essentially, to get around traffic on Kings Highway.
I think inherently the other significant traffic calming measure is that these are residential communities that have low speed limits. These are not, you know, most communities, they always have an odds.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate that you've been sitting here for a long time and that you may not have retained everything that our council shared with you earlier, but we specifically asked you not to do that, okay? So let's not be laughing, let's be listening. Go ahead.
And so that is the other, this will not be a 45 mile an hour road. This will be a road, again, in most subdivisions, everyone puts an odd number so that it makes people who are entering that subdivision say, well, that's a strange speed limit sign, and hopefully encourages people to drive that speed.
I saw one the other day, it was 16 miles per hour.
No question enforcement's an issue, but yep. they're low speed limits. Whether people observe them or not, certainly another matter.
But I would say that enforcement issue exists whether there's interconnectivity or not.
Indeed.
That's right.
Exactly.
Thank you. No other questions.
Okay, Mr. Butler.
I have no questions, sir.
Okay, Ms. Wingate.
No questions, thank you.
Mayor.
None at this time, sir.
Okay, staff, anything? Okay. Mr. Whitehouse.
None for me, thanks.
Counselor.
Not so much a question, more an observation. You know, so at this point, I've been through three different comprehensive land use plans. I know Mr. Wheatley has as well, and all the work that goes into those. For folks that don't know, when we do comprehensive plans, there's a lot of community outreach and a lot of community interaction and input that goes into those plans, and frankly, a lot of criticism of the county that's received when we're drafting those plans. And one of the things that you see, as Mr. Hutt mentioned, with regard to the current plan we're operating under, is that master planning has been something that the county has strived for since at least the 2002-2003 plan. And what's been touched upon in that is interconnection as well. We actually have a master plan ordinance that's in limbo at this point that assumes that for large parcels of property, there would be master planning that would include not just state-maintained roads, but, you know, wide boulevards that are part of that larger property that would connect, you know, the different residential uses and densities along with the commercial uses and office uses to the outside road infrastructure. You know, we've also heard time and time again that the county doesn't do a good job of planning, that there should be more sub-regional planning, whether that's on the master plan level or sort of at the town center level or, you know, larger areas. When I hear that, the one thing people talk about is that we should have a better plan or we should approve better plans that have better vehicular movement within them and without them. It just strikes me that in this case, as Mr. Hutt has talked about, this is one that has been master plan since probably the 1990s, I think, on the outside of Gills Neck Road. A lot of people don't realize that because we saw the applications come in one at a time, but there was a master plan that was showed informally to the county throughout that process from day one. And of course, that was modified as the different plans occurred, but it always anticipated that there would be interconnectivity. And as I think Mr. Hutt stated, following, you know, what everybody says is good planning, where you have the commercial on the outside and you work your way into from the higher to lower densities. You know, and so that's always been something that the county's been very conscious of, and we don't often get an opportunity to do it, where you have, as Mr. Hutt stated, one single property owner on a large parcel of land. So fast forward, all that had happened with regard to this particular area and how these properties developed. And frankly, you know, I appreciate Mr. Hutt's emphasis on what was disclosed at the various sales, because that's sort of frequently an unknown aspect of these. So that was, I thought, interesting. But I want to bring us forward to when this was approved last time with this condition, because I worked with Ms. Hoey Stevenson on it, and she was very adamant that this remain in place. Because, you know, when you look at the senator's language, I think it said something like there shall also be interconnectivity with the adjacent properties. But she anticipated that this might become an issue. And I just want to read the whole condition H, because she was very adamant that it be strongly worded so that her intent was well known and would survive in perpetuity. So that condition H in its entirety was, this project is interconnected with the adjacent commercial areas facing Kings Highway, as well as the governor's community, which is itself interconnected with the senator's community. This interconnection is part of the larger plan for the residential development of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road. This interconnectivity is important and necessary for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the developments to provide a means of access to and from them, in addition to use Gills Neck Road. This interconnection or interconnectivity has been part of the developer's master plan for this entire area, and it has been shown and approved by Sussex County at each stage of development along Gills Neck Road. Therefore, once construction is completed, this interconnectivity shall remain open to all vehicular traffic at all times without obstruction. So again, she wanted that language to be very clear what her intentions were. The other thing I would just say big picture is, you know, if we're going to undertake and master planning and promote master planning, you know, it has to be a master plan. It just completely undermines that initiative if after the fact, after a master plan community is partially or fully developed, there's then a redesign later on that undoes the original master planning. You know, that just sort of throws out all the directors of our comp plan, you know, the desires of that master plan ordinance that's in limbo, and everything we've been talking about for more than 20 years in Sussex County. So I just point that out. This is actually a bigger picture issue, you know, that you all need to consider going forward here, because it applies not only to governors and the villages, but, you know, in the past and the future in Sussex County. So thank you for allowing me to ramble on.
Can I add some support to what you're saying? Because you know, one of the things we're all concerned about is traffic backups on Kings Highway. I'm very concerned about the safety of the folks who are in the communities that are going to be impacted if this were to be approved. But we're also, you know, this interconnectivity would move traffic off of Kings Highway earlier for those developments so that they're not going to stay on Kings Highway and be part of that backup. And I think part of the interconnectivity requirements are to make it easier for people to get in and out of their communities more efficiently, and as part of the master planning attempts done here, I think that was the intent, is to give multiple paths in and out. Anyway.
Okay, well, commissioners, I want to remind you that we've heard half the story.
Yes.
We're getting ready to hear the other. We're getting ready. What did I just say? We're getting ready to hear the other half here shortly. Mr. Hutt is... Are you concluded at this point? We have no further questions for you right now.
That I am concluded.
Okay,
the only thing I was going to add, Mr. Robertson said, was the motion that Commissioner Howie Stevenson brought to the commission was unanimously adopted by the commission at that time.
Yes, it was. Okay, thank you. Now, occasionally, the commission will invite folks who have specific knowledge in a particular area to speak with us on an application. And we have one such person with us this evening, Mr. John Wright, who is the manager of quality and standards for EMS. And I want to give Mr. Wright an opportunity to share his thoughts with the commission. We know who you are, but we need you to introduce yourself for the record anyway, please.
Perfect. Hear me all right here? Oh, yeah, I hear it. All right, John Wright, Department of Public Safety, Division of EMS. I'm the manager of quality and standards. What I wanted to take just a brief second and talk about is the sort of the relationship of artificial barriers and roadways and how that affects response times. For us, we look to achieve, based on the 1999 EMS Improvement Act, a response time of 8 minutes for an ALS on scene. That number was pulled from the American Heart Association and the American Heart Association in response to cardiac arrest times. Our actual 90% fractile response time is 12.2 minutes in the Lewis Fire District. And we think that additional barriers could increase those times, whether that be a gate what other kind of improvement. Certainly, whatever the commission decides, we'll be able to provide the best service we can, but we thought we'd like to have you guys consider that as a part of your overall picture. Do you have any specific questions?
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Wright?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wright, 24 years in the fire service from me, from assistant chief to firefighter to captain lieutenant, all the way up. I agree with you 100%, because when your life's on that line, you don't want a barrier, because you got to deal with traffic. Nobody realizes response time for the fire company. Time of dispatch, some houses, Lewis is a great company, runs four ambulances, I believe now.
Four or five.
Yep. Yeah, four or five. Our hometown, we've got one. But dispatch for fire service, so once that dispatch hits DOC, it's 10 minutes, because we have to respond from somewhere. And then to get that unit on the road, time's ticking for those people. And I agree with you 100%, and I'm very passionate about that, by the way. So thank you.
Anyone else?
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, thank you, Mr. Wright. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for, okay, thank you. All right, is there anyone present that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2545, J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company? Anyone like to speak in favor? All right, then. All of you have been very patient. We appreciate that. I'm sure there are some spokesmen for the opposition, perhaps. Okay, if those spokesmen who are speaking for groups, if you are representing a group, just raise your hand so I can see where you are, because we're going to let you guys go first and ladies go first. And were there any over on this side? All the spokesmen are on this side. Okay. Okay, well, come on, why don't you start then? And you can bring your folks up as needed.